This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you. It's a pitch black outside. It's freezing cold. Feels like Milwaukee out there. But we know that's going to burn off, and it's going to be another beautiful day here in San Diego. And thank you for starting your mornings with us. Ben and Woods here. Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
I don't know what
the hell just happened to me. I was swallowing a cough drop, and I got a little confused. I apologize. Put a little Sammy Levitt there on that.
I heard that too.
Yeah, yeah. Being in Woods.
Long Island, Sammy Levitt.
Yeah, being in Woods. I'm Woods. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Benjamin, how are you?
Good morning. 1 week away from a Thanksgiving feasting with the family. Always fun.
Oh, I can't wait. I do this every year. I build it up in my head. I prepare myself, I prepare my stomach, I prepare my appetite, and I get to the event, and I load my plate, and I eat about a quarter of it. And it's the anticipation of it. I do this every stinking year, and I finally get to the, you know, I get to the good part. The clothes are off, right, where I'm at the good part. And I dive in, and I go, I eat about, literally, about a quarter of it, half of it. Well, I don't know why I do that. I build it up in my brain every single year. But Jamie says in the chat, ready to down 15 deviled eggs easily.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
Once dinner arrives.
Yeah. Well, ours goes, we show up at about noon, and then we eat at about 5. So there's a lot of time to graze at my mother-in-law's house. So that's what we do. And we'll get into all this. We're burning our Thanksgiving content for next week. Why'd you even bring it up?
Because it's Thursday, and we won't be here next Thursday. So
it's true. I got the new thing. We've never done this. We're doing Thanksgiving out. Won't be in town. We'll be in Las Vegas. So we're doing Thanksgiving at the Wynn, which I'm sure the spread is going to be great.
Ooh, man.
I'm not worried about the actual meal.
No.
But we're laying in bed last night, and Megan goes, it's going to be weird when we get back from vacation next week, like Friday afternoon. We're not going to have any leftovers.
Zero.
No Thanksgiving leftovers.
It's
like
tough.
The first time ever. And I go, huh.
That's happened to me before.
Thanksgiving leftovers right up there. It's like 1A and 1B with the actual meal.
Maybe even better.
Maybe.
Maybe even better.
Depending on what you got left over and what you can do with it.
I'll go day.
That turkey sandwich on Friday.
Is elite. Oh. Well, turkey sandwich goes on Thursday night. And then you have one on Friday, and then you have another full meal on Friday. By that time, I'm like, all right, I'm over it. And then Saturday, I'll usually get one more in, but I'm like, I don't want this. This is against my will, but somebody's got to eat this. And then I'm done. That's about as far as I can go.
Save this for next week.
All right.
I mean, we're already
Paulie's
into food
gonna be
talk.
Here, though.
I know.
He's not going to be here.
We're already into food talk. Sandwich talk yesterday. Hope everyone enjoyed your sandwiches for lunch, which you had to go get after.
I let you down. I did not go.
Did you guys go? No, Paulie went right to get a sandwich after the show.
I wasn't hungry. I was not hungry at all. My throat feels like a Triscuit. It's like the last thing in the world I want to do is wolf down a sandwich.
You're hoping that you can get it to feel more like a Ritz at some point?
Yeah, smooth. Yeah. Buttery smooth. And it feels like a raw Triscuit still. So I'm just... What'd you have?
I went to Rockin' Jenny's in Escondido.
Okay.
A couple exits from the house. Just... delicious. I got their famous turkey sub. Mm. They have the toasted Italian bread that they run through there, but it's regular. It's not a toasted sandwich. They just toast the bread.
Right.
Oh, it's so good.
About you?
Fantastic.
I actually had a wrap, which is kind of a sandwich,
it's a wrap.
Chicken wrap. But
why didn't you just get a sandwich?
Because my kids wanted to go to the kebab shop, so I got a chicken wrap instead.
Okay.
Sometimes you acquiesce to the wishes of the children when they
most
have
times.
A desire.
Yeah.
Most times,
no,
even when they're the age of my children. It's, hey, you want to do lunch? And I go, yeah, I'm hungry. You want sandwiches? Yeah, we were thinking kebab shop. It's like, that's fine. All right, we'll do that. I can get a sandwich-like item with chicken and vegetables wrapped in some sort of bready product.
You're a nice dad. I would have just said, we're getting sandwiches, so nut up, all right? My wife won't let me say nut up anymore. Ring it, Paulie. Go ahead. Yeah, not allowed to say it in the house. Hey, you're fine. Nut up. Let's go. I can't say it anymore. Do you know that?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you've mentioned it.
Yeah,
can't say the misogyny bell.
Right.
It implies that it takes some sort of manly qualities to...
To eat a sandwich.
To have the fortitude to do whatever you are asking your children to do.
You're fine. No need to whine. Nut up is what I've said before. And I get my hand slapped by my wife. It's hard, man. It's hard navigating those waters. You know, you're always kind of on eggshells.
She's not wrong.
No, I know. But, I mean, they do have nuts. So, like, it's not... That's also not wrong. Scientifically, it's not wrong. So, we had another incident last night. One of my kids had an accident in there the night before in their onesie.
Mm.
It's their, like, post-swim class. They get naked and they put their onesie on. It's warm and cozy. One of them had an accident in it. And it was a bad one. And I handled it, took the kid into the shower, got them all dialed in, whatever. So then yesterday...
It's all trapped in there because it's a
dude,
onesie.
And let me tell you, it was horrible. Yeah, it was bad. And so I said, so then yesterday she goes, hey, make sure that you have that onesie in there. And I go, well, didn't he S in his onesie? And she got mad at me. She thought I was making fun of him. And I go, I'm not making fun of him. He did take an S in his onesie. She's like, now you're mocking him. I'm not mocking him. I'm just literally saying, wasn't there a onesie that had doo-doo in it because of him? Yes? Yes, but he's here and now he's upset again. I go, well, I'm not trying to upset him. I'm just being matter of fact. Did he? It was like a court of law. I'm like, did he or did he not take an S in his onesie? And she's like, now you're just beating it in. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't know what to do anymore. Clearly, I'm lost. I'm lost as a parent, I'm just a very matter of fact in my house.
Sometimes the right thing to do, though, is to never speak of it again. That's usually my philosophy. On
you want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You
to
go wrong.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, he took an S in his onesie. What do you want me to do?
My philosophy is we know bad things are going to happen. That's life.
Oh,
when they happen, just ignore them and never talk about them again.
Well, and in the moment when he had the accident, he was very sad. I said, "Don't. There's nothing to worry about, dude. Daddy got you. Come here. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Like, let's get it done."
Yes, but he's worried that people will talk about it in the future. He's not
like on the radio.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. This is what's horrifying to the kids.
Well, listen.
You'll never forget the time that I made that one mistake in my onesie, and you're going to talk about it forever, which is exactly what you're doing now.
I was really confused as to,
monster,
in my mind, because, okay, Hannah says, well, I'm going to take this onesie, I'm going to throw it away. And I said, okay, by the next day, there's a onesie. And I go, I thought he asked in his onesie. No, everything's fine. I got a new one. I was like, oh, okay. Stop mocking
As
him.
If it never happened.
Well,
you're
not
magically erasing the memory from your child by pretending it never happened.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't trying
That's
to shame
good parenting
him. I wasn't
right
trying
there.
To shame him. I was just stating matter-of-factly, There was a onesie. It was filled with feces, and now there's a new onesie. That's all I was saying. Trust me, I can't do anything right.
It's one of the great things, I think. I mean, for me, about growing up and getting older, is realizing these kind of things have happened to everybody, and stop being so embarrassed about the normal stuff in life that everybody has to deal with. You know, you're such as a kid, as a teen, worried about not being normal and fitting in, but everyone goes through crap.
You know, I'm going to tell you this,
literally and figuratively,
though.
In this case,
I'm going to tell you this right now, though. I have had the conversation with both of my kids. Don't do it at school. Accidents happen. You go to you get on the phone and you call me and I'll come get you. Because you can't be the kid out at recess with doo-doo running down his leg. Even in first grade, guess what you'll be the rest of your life? You'll be doo-doo Ben for the rest of your life. Even in first grade. Remember that time Ben completely crapped his pants in school? So, yeah, I've had that conversation. Yes, accidents happen. You're going to do that, this and that. But you also want to protect your kids. You can't just have them freewheeling, going around going, hey, well, this is no problem. You know, like, this happens to everybody, right?
I would think that they have enough desire that they don't want to do it themselves, that they're already thinking about that.
I want to belabor that point. That's it. That's all I'm saying. So, anyway. I can't, I'm having a hard time navigating the home right now. Very hard. Very difficult time for me. Just trying to be matter of fact. Wasn't trying to shame anybody.
You may not want to post this segment, Paul, for the rest of eternity. Just, you know, because I can imagine now your kids, you know, maybe they're on their wedding day.
Yeah. Oh, I'd tell that story on their wedding. You know that. I absolutely would tell that story.
20 plus years hence. You could actually play this segment at the wedding. Like, you know what? I was going to give a toast, but instead,
I'll play this instead.
I'm going to play this segment from November 21st, 2024. And this is going to be my toast at your wedding.
It's just hard. You're trying to navigate the day, and you say something, and you get your hand slapped for it. And then you say something else, and then you get the hand slapped again. And it's like, oh, man, I just don't know what to do here. I feel like a real crap parent. Legit, like, literally, like a literal crap parent. So just, I know many of you can relate out there trying to do the dance every day. We have marriage counseling today, so we can maybe bring it up in there today.
Probably.
It's a good spot for it.
Anna says, consider the point belabored. This is the definition of belaboring the point.
By the way, from the literal queen of belaboring, no one has belabored points more than that woman. No one on the planet. Just ding, 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 just hammering a nail right in my forehead about hangers and towels, and you name it.
She's earned it. She had to go through belabor to deliver both of the kids.
She actually didn't. She had C-section for both, but it's fine.
How would you like to be cut open, Steven?
I would not. I was there for it. It was absolutely horrific, dude. Oh, Caveman Kratos is my daughter. First day of kindergarten, unloaded. Didn't tell anyone. Then on the way home, my truck stunk. Kindergarten, I think you're fine. Kindergarten, no, you're fine. So
well,
don't worry
cut
about
off
that.
Now. First grade, second grade, what are we talking about here?
First grade, they're like little humans with little social pods, man. They have their little pods. I think kindergarten is good, is really, really good. And that's where the accidents happen. First grade, though, is the real deal. That's, you're down to business. You got friends. There's, oh, because you know why else? There's second graders there, third graders there, fourth graders there, fifth graders there, and sixth graders there. It's no longer just the safe little space for kindergartners to just crap their pants and throw it on the walls and do all the stuff that you can do in kindergarten. First grade is the real deal. You've arrived. It's like going to college. I mean, that's kind of what it is. So you're fine there, Caveman Credo. Get it fixed up before first grade, though. I'll tell you that right now. Ooh, it's a good one.
Maybe we should just move on.
All right. I was going to go in a different direction, but
you can go that direction at any time in the next 3 hours and 47 minutes.
All right.
But we will set the menu for the program. And I throw back Thursday here with Ben and Woods. Don't go away. Come back after Kelly Danick's traffic and get things rolling on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I was just thinking, Benny, I was looking at Twitter. Yeah, Ben and Woods have been together, coming up on our 7th year together, right? We've had some really nice success. Very proud of our success. I don't think we've cashed in on our brand enough, though. And I don't know really how we do it. I think it takes money to make money. But I'm sitting here right now, I'm looking at Twitter, and somebody tweeted a picture of some mac and cheese, and it says, "Honey, what's wrong? You've barely touched your Yellowstone frozen mac and cheese." And from the TV show Yellowstone, it's smoked pulled pork mac with the Yellowstone brand logo on it. Who in the world?
Oh, it's not just that. I'm looking it up. They got like four different types.
Do the characters? I haven't seen the show. Do the characters eat a lot of? Mac and cheese.
Rip is usually just leaning against. Well, he wasn't. He will now in this season. Because now it's out. You'll see him leaning up against the fence post. "How dare you steal our cattle?" And he's just eating a big bowl of smoked pulled pork mac. We have not cashed in on our brand enough. I fear we're going to get Ben to, you know, years down the road, and we're not going to be able to cash in on the Ben and Woods brand.
I see six different types of Yellowstone mac and cheese, frozen dishes. So you had the smoked pulled pork mac. They've got loaded mac and cheese, bacon mac and cheese, five cheese burnt ends mac and cheese,
ooh,
five cheese brisket mac, and cheesy bacon mac.
Wow, that's some intense mac and cheese.
Man, and Yellowstone's such a big show.
So, you know, generally how this works will be there's some company that makes mac and cheese, but they're not getting the word out enough. They're not, you know, like breaking through. Like, we've got really good mac and cheese, but no one's trying. We just need to get someone to try our mac and cheese. They're going to love it. They'll keep buying it. How do we get them just to buy it for the first time and try it? And so they think, let's partner with a well-known brand that they'll put the name on it, and we'll make the mac and cheese. We'll come together and, like, win-win situation. Because Yellowstone, I doubt Kevin Costner has to do any of the actual cooking or anything for this. They just
Where's
say, sure.
Mac and cheese?
Sure. They just say, you pay us a certain amount of money. We'll give you the rights to our name. You go ahead and make the mac and cheese, and then you keep the sales. And that's how an agreement like that works. And if people get them in the door and they like the mac and cheese, well, that's a win for the company that makes the mac and cheese as well.
I'm dead.
Oh my God, dude.
What else do they have?
Well, I'm reading. I typed it into Google, Yellowstone mac and cheese. And the first thing that popped up was this website, Wide Open Country. It's a country lifestyle blog website. And the headline is, "I ate 10 servings of Yellowstone mac and cheese in 48 hours.
Oh,
here's what happened."
My God, what happened?
I'm trying to read through it. It's a long, lengthy piece, but he wanted to give a full review. And he goes, "However, I do have a deadline. And my editor said, if I can do it in 48 hours, it's good to go." So he had 10 different dishes of mac and cheese in 48 hours?
Easy.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Now, it's frozen mac and cheese, though.
Right. Well, I would assume he heated it up before.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not like it's, you know.
Frozen mac and cheese, I mean, it stays pretty good.
That's fair.
It's not a problem. But here's the issue. When you're off, you know, you're giving up your brand to put it, slap it on a product.
Yeah.
There's too many brands that just don't care. Hey, all right, you're paying me. I don't care what the quality of this product. And you end up with a lot of your name and a lot of chintzy stuff out there. And you really have to be kind of careful. I would like to think that you and I when we endorse something. It's not Ben and Woods Casino. It's still 7 Mile Casino.
Yeah.
But when we're endorsing it and putting our name on it, we go and we look into it, and we want to make sure that it's generally, you know, something that we ourselves would like to use and do use.
Or use, yes.
You love your Eco Water. I've been having fun playing Prize Picks. Whatever it is, when you put your name on something or attach it to something, if you're a hopefully somewhat quality human being, you're going to at least make sure that the people you're telling, you're not steering them in the wrong direction.
I want to strike while the iron's hot. You know, my vision is like Ben and Woods laundromats on every corner. You know, something. Just something with our name.
Well, then I want them to be quality laundromats,
of course,
filled with great B&B appliances, like
yes,
the Speed Queen,
of
built
course,
better to last longer if we're going to do Ben & Woods laundromats. Is that a growth industry? I don't know.
I don't
know. Try the Ben & Woods Bowl instead of the Holiday. Or which,
Ben & Woods Bowl, yep.
Which was that the one
Holiday
that had
Bowl,
the naming
yeah,
rights?
Yeah.
We tried.
Yeah.
Tried.
Didn't
we didn't work, get it.
Sucks,
DirecTV
feel like
snuck in and beat us out.
I just feel like you have a brand, you want to use it. And they're doing it. I mean, they are crushing. Yellowstone is they have so much stuff. They have like a catalog of Dress Like Rip. You can buy all the gear. I mean, it is like really cosplay central. You've never seen the show?
I still have not seen the show.
It's pretty good. It's dirty. Like it's a guilty pleasure. And there's no way all this stuff could happen in Montana. There's just no chance. There's no way 80-90%. Oh, by the way, every cowboy that works for you is the most attractive man in the world. Oh, and every cowgirl in Montana is an absolute dime. Every single one that shows up, you're like, oh, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense that you're a rancher. It totally does.
Yeah, born and raised in Butte, huh?
Yeah, but born and raised. Okay, very cool. But it's pretty good.
You know how much distance is between all those ranches anyway?
I know.
No one's ever going to interact. I mean, I want to go see my neighbors. Well, I got to drive 45 minutes to get there. You never would want to do that.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good show. Costner's really good in it. Rip is fantastic. But it's like a soap opera. It's a modern. Is Megan watching or anything?
Mm-mm.
No Yellowstone. I'm the only one.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I got sucked in. I got sucked in, and I was done for. New season's out too, so just in case.
Well, buy some of the mac and cheese then.
I may try.
Support the brand that you enjoy so much.
I may try. Yeah, they have their own line of clothes and everything. It is nuts.
All right, coming up on the program today, setting the menu. The Cy Young Awards announced yesterday. No big surprises. Also, have some new news about Roky Sasaki. Not only what Rob Manfred had to say yesterday, but Evan Drellick, who we talked about yesterday from The Athletic, had a new piece this morning talking
Dodgers.
About Roky Sasaki and the Dodgers. Some spicy stuff. And
up
we can
to
get
no
to that
good.
Coming up. Maybe.
Up to no good. I'm going to choose to believe that something untoward happened.
I've seen their act before.
I've seen that act before, Paulie. I'm actually disgusted. If this is true, I'm disgusted by their... Here we go again. Another offseason. Another cover-up.
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, LeBron James announced yesterday that he is going to be taking an indefinite break from social media.
Okay.
And anytime LeBron does something, obviously it's going to elicit some reactions and opinions. But, you know, why is he choosing to do this now? What's different?
It's an interesting
Should
story.
Should we all be doing this at some point? I know you did it recently. And you can offer some of your thoughts on what the experience was like to take a little break from social media. But thought that was interesting. He has a ton of followers. I mean, 159 million
Good
Instagram followers,
God.
53 million followers on X. And he's just leaving them all high and dry.
We teased late in the program yesterday that we had a very big and fun and great interview.
Big surprise guest coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods. Would you like to reveal what we have learned about our surprise guest?
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
Cool.
What happens at the end? Just slowly fades.
We're on a heater.
Which
as
could
they say in the biz that we are on a heater.
Extend our streak. We have had a guestless week. It's been a while.
I have no problem.
Have we had a full guestless week before?
We've had dozens of
course.
Them.
A whole week without a single guest.
Yeah, okay. Usually by choice. This one was not. We wanted this interview.
No, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday was planned.
Yeah.
We had a guest planned for Thursday. We did for Friday as well.
We'll probably fall through.
Probably fall through.
Let's just bang it at this point. Hey, sorry, we can't have you on, Evan. We don't want to break our streak of 20 straight hours of broadcasting without a guest.
It's like doing the daily Wordle. Like, oh, your streak is now five days.
So that guest, listen, here's the thing. He will be on soon.
Or she.
Good point.
Or she. We'll be on
Ring
soon.
Ring the misogyny bell.
Monster.
It's twice in one day. He or she will be on very soon. He or she is very excited to come on. There's just a little bit of red tape that needs to be cut. And then we're good.
I think that's fair.
I'm very excited to talk to he or she. Yeah.
When we are authorized to speak with he or she.
Correct.
But apparently,
sorry that we let you down.
It's not going to happen today.
Trying to think of the last big gap we had, guest wise, and obviously during the baseball season we got weeklies every single day.
Right.
If we go back to earlier this year, fantasy camp, we ended on Friday, January 19th, right? Yeah. Came back home from Arizona. That entire next week, Monday through Friday, nobody.
Ooh.
The next week, Monday, nobody. Tuesday, nobody. Wednesday, nobody. And then on Thursday, we caught up with Xavier Scruggs.
So eight days right now may be our record.
That's a record.
Eight straight days. I don't know that we'll get there this time.
But that would be, you'd have to make it through all of
next week.
Through
all of next week.
Yeah.
Which we can do.
We could, but what if our he or she surprise guest is then available? We're not going to say no to he or she.
No. He or she's great.
So we definitely love he or she.
Yep.
But doesn't look like it's going to happen today.
Not today. Sorry.
We'll have our regular features like Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday, chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas. Don't do this. Rindle Report as well. It's all coming up, but we'll start with the baseball news. A little bit on the Cy Young Award winners, including some Padres picking up votes yesterday, and the latest on Roky Sasaki and some rumors involving the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Here we go again.
Coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Woods is making a little restroom trip. Decided right at the end of the commercial break that he just could not wait.
So spent the whole first segment talking about accidents.
Didn't want to have
one. He would have had one if he didn't go.
That's fair.
And he always waits until the very end of the commercial break before he remembers.
So I was going to jump in, talk briefly about the Cy Young Award, and then toss to traffic. But since Woods isn't here, oh no, here he comes. He's back. He made it. So after the Padres, and yesterday the joke was simply second best because they were the runners-up for so many of these postseason awards. Simply fourth best in the National League Cy Young Award. But congratulations, Dylan Cease. Still an outstanding season.
Yep.
Ranked by the Writers of America, the fourth best pitcher in the National League in the voting that was revealed yesterday that awarded Chris Sale his first Cy Young Award. After many close calls.
So many close calls.
Second, fourth, third, fifth. I mean, he had been a top five Cy Young Award vote getter multiple times in his career, but had never won one until yesterday. And thought it was a pretty obvious choice. Zach Wheeler got a couple of handful of first place votes, but it was a fairly runaway in the National League with Chris Sale winning. Also, I saw the argument that with this Cy Young, he is stamped his ticket to Cooperstown at the end of his career.
Fair.
Which is, I never really thought about Chris Sale as a Hall of Fame pitcher, but now, you know, putting it all together and adding a Cy Young to the mix, he has a pretty good candidacy ahead of him. Meanwhile, also in the American League, a unanimous selection, Tarek Skubal got all 30 first place votes. It was his 28th birthday yesterday, which was kind of cool to learn you'll win the Cy Young Award on your birthday. Seth Lugo, the former Padre, was second by a wide margin, obviously, didn't get any of the first-place votes, but got the most second-place votes in the American League. And that will continue to be my biggest regret of last Padres offseason, that you couldn't figure out a way for just a few million dollars more to keep Seth Lugo into the fold.
100%.
And what a difference that might have made for the San Diego Padres.
Could have, would have, should have.
You know, you were trying to cut payroll, and I certainly understood the argument at the time. Didn't know if he was going to, you know, build off of the season or take a step back in 2024, but he continued to build off what he did with the Padres in 2023. Had a phenomenal campaign for the Kansas City Royals, and ultimately, with Yu Darvish going on the restricted list, Padres probably had the room to offer him whatever the difference was that the Kansas City Royals made it worth as well to go there. And, oh, that's the one that I just all felt like, eh, you let that one slip away. And that extra piece in the rotation, especially in the playoffs when Joe got hurt, man, that would have been a nice, nice addition for the Padres.
Yeah, no question. And I don't know why. I mean, it wasn't a ton of money, but you know, for whatever reason, they wanted to let him go, and he went on. And kudos to him, man. He had a monster year for Kansas City, and you know, was able to do some stuff there in Kansas City. Helped that team get to the playoffs. That's pretty cool for them. And just all around a really, really good pitcher, really fun guy to watch. I remember how fun it was to watch him pitch. He just seemed locked in every game.
Yeah.
There was no messing around, no dilly-dallying here and there. He just attacked the zone. He was just a really enjoyable watch for the Padres and the Royals. So, good dude. Congratulations to him. Michael King got a couple
down ballot votes. Yeah. Finished 7th, I think, overall in the voting. And
Two guys in the top 10, Cy Young.
I would expect his trajectory going up.
Yeah.
That, you know, 7th might be the lowest he finishes, hopefully, for the next couple of years and hopefully beyond if he stays with the San Diego Padres as well.
Pretty interesting to think about how that trade all went down, you know, now, especially, I mean, as it stands right now. I mean, if I'm the Yankees, I'm pretty terrified I'm going to lose Juan Soto to the Mets or the Red Sox or, you know, any other team, the Phillies. And you traded away, you know, some really nice pieces and, you know, who wins? If Juan Soto leaves, who wins the trade? I think we do.
Padres have been on the other end of those sometimes.
Big
you
time.
Know, you go for it. Sometimes it pays off. They did get to a World Series.
Probably depends on who you ask and how you
and how you look at it.
I mean,
yeah, they got to a World Series.
He's a finalist for the MVP. Got to the World Series.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
An interesting story came out yesterday, and it wasn't hearsay either. It was Hal Steinbrenner saying that in the meeting with Juan Soto, did you see this? Juan Soto asked them, what's up with the development here? What's up with player development here on the New York Yankees? Why aren't we developing, you know, why aren't you, I guess, you know, how do you think we stand right now as far as player development goes? Which is a really insightful question to ask in an interview, and I think kind of a strike against the Yankees right now, because now I know they just had the rookie of the year, Luis Gil, but if you're Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman, you're like, oh, that's a pointed question, because I think he wants to know, like, is there going to be help? Is there help coming or not?
I mean, I kind of doubt that it's the make or break point Juan Soto is deciding to play.
Our development's coming around. We're going to give you $50 million more than you would have gotten across the street. All right, sounds good to me.
And if you're going to spend the time meeting for hours with all of these teams, well, it's just one of the questions you want to throw in there. I mean, you know, find out what the big picture is for your organization top to bottom.
Sure. I don't feel like it was an eyewash question of just, I need to ask a question. I think that I think if you're a Yankee fan, I think you know that their development has not been great, you know, and I think he wants to know, hey, are we in a good position moving forward if I do sign here?
All right, speaking of young potential prospects, some news coming down the pipeline yesterday involving Roky Sasaki, comments from Commissioner Rob Manfred, and a new piece out this morning in The Athletic involving Sasaki and the Los Angeles Dodgers and some
sick
potentially nefarious dealings. We will talk about that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So at this point, you know, you're just looking for all the potential signs out there, like which direction is Roky Sasaki potentially leaning? He hasn't even officially been posted yet. So technically, until that 45-day window opens, teams aren't supposed to be able to negotiate directly with him or his agents until that 45-day period is underway. Now, we all know in Major League Baseball, there are ways to get around the rules. There are teams that just break the rules straight out. And yesterday, there apparently was, and this was what Evan Drellick wrote about this morning. You know, we heard the speculation, the Dodgers are the favorites to sign Sasaki because they have Otani, they have Yamamoto, you know, pipeline to Japan, whatever. But apparently, there have been many people, according to Evan Drellick, in Major League Baseball, who have, behind closed doors,
ooh,
heard that the outcome of this sweepstakes is predetermined. That, whatever, long ago, Roky Sasaki made his decision, made an agreement with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and is now just playing out the theater of being posted and pretending to, you know, go through negotiations with all the teams. But this is a done deal, a foregone conclusion, and there are real officials in Major League Baseball who suspect that Sasaki does have at least an unwritten agreement to join the L.A. Dodgers this offseason.
The old wink, wink. As soon as the day gets here, we'll make this thing official. I am sick to my stomach. I'm sick to my stomach. Dallas Keuchel, a former big leaguer, was playing over in Japan. And
same team as Sasaki.
Same team. And he said, I heard some rumblings about a done deal with the Dodgers, you know, having a plan for him. And, I mean, I would think that he would... You know, baseball players talk and teammates talk and, you know, word gets around the campfire. And, yeah, here we go again, Ben. Another offseason cover-up. The Dodgers declined comment. They will say that it was Sasaki's interpreter that actually made the handshake deal. And that's probably the best way out for them.
So the American agent who's going to be handling the process for Roky Sasaki, Joel Wolf, who is also... Yu Darvish's agent pushed back pretty hard. Here was his quote to Evan Drellick. While a bunch of executives who should know me better and do a lot of business with me insult my integrity by insinuating I would be a part of some type of nefarious agreement, in reality, this is just poor sportsmanship,
Prove it, says Joel Wolf.
Yeah,
Sign him with somebody else. Prove it.
It's going to be...
It's going to be really weird when he signs with the Dodgers.
It's going to be, I wouldn't say it's very weird, because it's what everyone expected.
It's what everyone expected, because they already had a handshake deal.
You know, this decision really is up to Sasaki, though. If that's where he wanted to go, he's allowed to want to go to the Dodgers. It's his life. It's his career. He's given up a ton of money by coming over early. And if he wants to go to the Dodgers, doesn't need a handshake agreement, doesn't need anything. They will take him happily. There's no reason to necessarily have to get in bed early with Roky Sasaki.
There absolutely is a reason.
Why?
Because you want to get that guy as close to pen on paper as you can.
Sure, but Roky Sasaki and his agent know that every team will bend over backwards to try to sign him.
Of course.
So he doesn't necessarily... He has the leverage here.
Yeah, obviously.
He can pick whatever team he wants. He should not feel any compunction about signing with another team.
Look it up, Paulie. Will you do the definition for me?
Or he really shouldn't feel bad about signing with the Dodgers, if that's what he wants. I would like to think that he wants something else, to compete against those guys, as opposed to just joining his other Japanese, you know, colleagues on the same team. But
Compunction, a feeling of guilt or moral scruple.
Look at you.
Prevents or follows the doing of something bad.
Right. He shouldn't feel that.
I've never heard that word.
About signing with any team.
Good job, Ben.
It's a great one.
Welcome.
Word of the day. Feeding you words to weave in. Is Wale feeding you words at night after your nap to weave into the show?
So, ultimately, if he signs with the Dodgers, it's not necessarily a sign of nefarious, underhanded dealings.
I choose not to believe that. It feels nefarious to me.
But it is concerning. Certainly, the Dodgers have plenty of built-in advantages.
Yeah, they do.
In terms of market, money, TV deal, now a World Series, and the cachet that goes along with that. This is the one guy that theoretically the Tampa Bay Rays have as much chance of signing as the Dodgers.
Correct.
So you'd like to think that the Dodgers don't already have it in the bag and have a giant advantage over everyone else on this one.
Right.
At least make him go through the process. Make the case. You know, let them convince Roky Sasaki that they're the right team for him, because every team should have the chance at this. And if they don't, if this really is a done deal and no one has an opportunity and everyone's just wasting their time, I mean, AJ's probably learning a whole new batch of Japanese right now, and is he just wasting his time because Roky Sasaki doesn't care and is not really going to listen to arguments from other teams? That would be kind of disappointing. I would like to think that it's at least a fair fight, and if you lose to the Dodgers in a fair fight, fine. You know what? I agree. They do have some compelling reasons why you might want to join that team, but I think there are also compelling reasons why you'd want to join the San Diego Padres.
It's funny because Roki's agent is really talking about, he's talking about, when he says unsportsmanlike, he's talking about the people that are going and complaining to the commissioner about, hey, what's this I'm hearing about this and that? Like a bunch of rats actually going in and saying, I'm hearing there's a handshake deal in place and, you know, this can't be. And look,
it's sour grapes before you've even tasted the wine at this point. They're already complaining about the result of something that's not done.
Well, and that, you know, it was. When it came out, I mean, the minute they said he was coming here, 98% chance. Remember, everyone, 98% chance, 98% chance. And then you got players talking about how they're hearing that it's already a done deal. I mean, look, dude, the rumor mill is the rumor mill. A lot of times rumors are true. And so I don't think it's a black mark on anybody. If it's not a black mark on Joel Wolf if he ends up signing with the Dodgers, because that's where he wanted to be.
To be fair, I mean, there's also some other rumors in the mill about, you know, a Padres connection in the past.
Well, we know about a Padres connection.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that exists as well. Is it nefarious if he signs with the Padres? I mean, essentially any team that signs Roki Sasaki is going to get the side eye from the other 29.
You think so? I think only the Dodgers will get the side.
No, the Padres would get it too. I'm pretty sure that A.J. Preller will get some side eyes
for
if
what?
They sign. Because he gets side eyes for everything he does in Major
League
Baseball.
Well, that's fair, but what's the reason?
There won't be a reason. There might not be a reason why they're doing it with the Dodgers right now. There's
it's
not.
Funny.
I mean, there's no reporting from Evan Drellick of secret meetings or, you know, guaranteed offers or anything. Mm. It's simply executives behind the scenes in baseball already going to the commissioner and going, here's what I'm hearing, that he's already got a deal with the Dodgers. But they're not laying out any evidence of, you know, some sort of, you know, CIA-type plot that they had going for years and years.
Here, sweet kid, I bet you, I guarantee you there's some sort of CIA plot going on to get him to the Dodgers. I promise you. My tinfoil hat is on, okay?
Who does that benefit? It benefits the Dodgers. Does it benefit Major League Baseball for Roki Sasaki to go to the Dodgers? I would argue that it doesn't. I would argue that it benefits Major League Baseball to spread some of that talent around to other organizations. And that by coalescing all the Japanese major stars on one team actually hurts Major League Baseball more.
Well,
the Dodgers
not in Japan, though, it does.
The Dodgers can't get more attention in Japan. They already had more people watching the World Series in Japan than they did in the entire United States.
That's true.
You think there's more people? Oh, well, you know, 70% of Japan watched the Dodgers already. But now that Sasaki's on,
76.
We're going to get up to 100. It's still going to be 70. Everybody who's watching in Japan
still
who wanted
watching.
To watch is already watching. If he goes to another team, you may now have another team that gets 70% of Japan watching. It makes more sense for baseball for him to go to anywhere but the Dodgers.
Mm.
But it's not up to baseball. It's up to Roki Sasaki and where he wants to go. It's his life. It's his career. Just let the process play out fairly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like it's not fair already. I feel like my six-year-old. It's not fair. It's not fair. And I feel like a bunch of executives they're acting like my six-year-old as well.
Can someone explain the Coachella lineup to me that came out yesterday?
No.
All right, we'll play a little Real or Fake as well. Coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.